Natürlich, wenn wir cultivate Bhavana meditation, particular a formal meditation like today, you have to attend to your meditation object. This goes without saying. However, don't become obsessed with your meditation object. By that I mean, even if we kind of focus or concentrate, however you want to call it, on the meditation object, don't use 100% of your mind for that. At the same time as we are observing or attending to our meditation object, say the breath, loving-kindness, Buddha, body contemplation, whatever it is, at the same time we always have to be aware of our general mind. What is our general mind state? How does our mind relate to the meditation object? What is the effect of what we are doing there in our meditation on our mind? For example, breath meditation. There we have very extensive instructions from the Buddha. There are the four tetrads, the four groups of four, what to do. And the third one says, and it starts by Chitta Patisangvedi Asasisamiti Sikati. Chitta Patisangvedi Pasasisamiti Sikati. One trains oneself, I breathe in experiencing the mind. One trains myself, I breathe out, feeling the mind, being aware of the mind, knowing the mind, observing the mind. So this is really, really crucial, not just on the meditation object, but wider. Now, how does a mind respond to the meditation? How does a mind relate to the meditation object? What is the effect of the meditation onto our mind? And the Buddha continues, na abhipa modayang chittang asasasamiti sikati. The one trains oneself, I will breathe in and out, exceedingly delighting the mind. Now there's an instruction what should be happening with the mind. The mind should be mudati is not to be glad or to make glad. Pamudati is already an intensifier, really glad, to make the mind really glad. And abhi is another intensifier, two intensifiers, really very much glad. The point is not to really bring up the mind, to make it glad, joyful. Before on Vedana, he talked already about rapture and bliss as feeling here about the mind, exceedingly delighted with the meditation. Samadhang chitang asasisamiti sikati. One trains oneself in unifying the mind, making the mind samadhi, so to speak. We can't really translate that so well. One could say concentrating the mind, but samadhi is quite different from what we mean by concentration in English. The concentration in English usually refers to very intensely willpower-induced state, whereas the state of samadhi is kind of effortless and connected not just with willpower, but with rapture, bliss, joy, and internal unification. So this is where the mind should be going. And vimocayam chittam, freeing the mind, we train ourselves, breathing in and out, freeing the mind, liberating the mind, releasing the mind, delivering the mind. So we have to check out whether this goes in this direction. what we are doing there in our meditation. Meditation is not about that I'm sitting so and so many hours cross-legged, or that I'm trying to watch the breath or try to do metta or whatever for this particular time. It's not just these very technical and external aspects. But if we sit down and we meditate, in inverted commas, but we are maybe indulging in sensual fantasies, and it's quite easy when you meditate and you can have just like this movie running, or we can just be planning about the future, or we may just agonize about some old hurt and get really upset, and we're sitting there steaming away for an hour being so angry about some old hurt which we are remembering. Or when we may just feel grief or sadness and we're really down and depressed. So it would actually be better than not to meditate at all, because it's going in the wrong direction. The instruction I just quoted were from Anapanasati, mindfulness of the breath, but that refers to all other meditation objects in a similar way. Whatever you do, then there has to be this awareness of the mind, and that the mind moves in the right direction. A similar number four, the fourth tantra, the Buddha gives the kind of the attitude how we meditate. Anicca nupassi, viraga nupassi. We meditate, observing fading away. We meditate, and we train ourselves, contemplating the impermanence, contemplating the fading away of defilements, contemplating the fading away of fetters and obstructions, contemplating the impermanence of all distractions. Nirodha nupassi, contemplating ending, trying to bring things to an end, all these burdens and troubles. And finally, nipatinissaga nupassi, is about letting go. If you're sitting there and trying to get something, it just doesn't really work. The whole attitude, direction, the mode has to be the mode of abandoning, letting go, dropping. So it's really, really important that we always pay attention to that as well, not just to the meditation object, but what does it actually do to the mind? In particular, when you come out, then we don't have to attend to the meditation object anymore at all. And once you come out, that session is over, and then it's good not to even go completely to checking out what is the mind like now. What was the mind like before the meditation? What is the mind like after the meditation? Now that is a crucial comparison. Not, oh dear, I'm still not enlightened, or this is still not blissed out in samadhi or anything like that. But just before the meditation, it was like this. After the meditation, now it feels like that. And is there progress? So if the mind after the meditation is heavier and darker than before, honestly, it would be better not to meditate, but maybe listen to some nice music, or or have a good sleep, or meet a good friend. It may have a more wholesome effect on your mind. It doesn't really matter whether you are sitting for an hour in full lotus and without movement. If the mind afterwards is darker and heavier than before, then it's going in the wrong direction. And when we notice that, it's so pernicious, this tendency in human beings, maybe more of the same. Okay, this doesn't work, so I just try harder the same. But we have to use wisdom. It's not like, don't try to walk through the wall. Just open, here's the door, and then you step a meter to the right and go through the door. So we have to adjust our meditation to whether it is increasing wholesome states and diminishing unwholesome ones. This is what it's all about. it's not just accumulating so and so many hours supposedly with that meditation object in a formal posture. It is about decreasing unwholesome mind states, increasing wholesome ones. Unwholesome mind states include anxiety, depression, being down, being heavy, being demotivated, being lazy, tired, sleepy. It's not so bad as being hateful and enraged, but even sleepiness, tiredness is not a wholesome mind state. And certainly if we notice that we feel down and depressed, heavy and dark, then whatever we do then in our meditation is a wrong thing, and we have to address it. And we have to do something else that has the result that the mind becomes brighter and lighter. Lighter in the sense, both in the sense of more light, less darkness, and lighter in the sense of less weight. And be innovative. Don't worry about that you have to do these hours of sitting, but look at whatever you have to do with your mind to bring it in the right direction. And if the sitting doesn't work so well, then do walking. If whatever meditation object you like to use, if it has this negative effect on the mind, then you have to just let go of that, at least for the time being, and do something else. If it's not formal meditation, then listen to a Gautama talk. Do some chanting, do a Buddha puja. Do some studies. Investigate a sutta, learn something by heart, some dhamma, whatever it is, anything that leads to an increase in wholesome states. I'm saying that because I can see that and it's reported to me, and people amazingly can easily get into that they actually think they are meditating, but in reality they're doing something that brings their mind down in some way. And they don't fully notice it. And they become even kind of attached to it and continue doing that. So we have to have that mindfulness to check out what is really the mind like, and did the meditation do something good? So it sounds so trivial. I feel a bit silly explaining that, but it happens typically. One case is like bereavement. Someone lost a partner, a parent, or maybe even the worst, usually a child. Now they're meditating and they're thinking, for example, that they are watching the breath. In some way they may be watching the breath. What they really do often is that they're actually latching onto this feeling of sadness and bereavement and being really down, and go into a kind of mitra samadhi, wrong samadhi. And they may not notice it. Because if you're really in bereavement, you're so sad about losing a dear loved one, that is kind of there all the time and you don't really get it anymore. And then in the meditation, you may latch onto it even more. Similar when we are really into anxiety, some people, then they're kind of watching the breath, but they are spinning their anxiety scenarios, what may be happening and what kind of danger and what kind of sickness I may be getting, what may be happening to my loved ones. And then you come out after an hour meditation and the anxiety is much worse. It looked like you're kind of looking at the breath, and to some extent you may have been doing it, but the majority of the attention was actually onto these unwholesome thoughts or an unwholesome emotion. Another pernicious one is laziness, tiredness, sleepiness. Now I've seen that also in monks. I remember one monk, a very good monk in all regards. But in the meditation, sitting behind that monk, I could see he's always nodding, basically sleeping every single meditation, and pretty sure he wasn't aware of that. Can easily happen. You think you're nice and peaceful, and it's good. It's just sleeping, basically. And people can spend years on these kind of things. Another dangerous one is depression. If we feel depressed, it has a tendency similar like bereavement, that you take up a meditation object and you're a little bit with it, but mostly you're on this very strong emotion to which you have become so used that you don't notice it anymore. The simile, well-known simile of the fish in water. The fish doesn't really know that he's in the water because he has been in the water since he was born. He doesn't know anything else. There's no awareness of water. It's always there. This can particularly happen if we are using meditation objects that are very subtle and require very strong mindfulness. Anapanasati, mindfulness of the breath, is a classic example. Also, some people may be just doing what some people call just watching the mind, just being aware of the mind, or being aware of their thinking. And again, that can easily go into that direction, that one is aware but one is thinking actually unhelpful things. To really get out of some unwholesome mind state, often a strong meditation object is more efficient. So if you notice that now I'm doing an hour of breath meditation, afterwards I feel so anxious, or I feel so depressed or heavy, or maybe I realize now I'm just nodding all the time. It's much better, for example, do fast walking and just reciting Itipiso Bhagava Adahang Samma Sambuddho Vichar Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Pudisa Dhamma Sarati Sataha Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Itipiso. Really loud, can recite that really loud, and you just walk fast. It's quite difficult to latch onto an emotion of feeling a little bit depressed or anxious when you have to do fast walking and fast reciting loud. This is something that can break you out of some kind of habitual mind state much better. But sometimes we may have to go onto a more basic level. We may not be able to do this very refined training of the mind. And it doesn't have to be formal meditation. Then we just go for chanting. Like today, we have quite a bit of chanting incorporated in the day. And doing a Buddha puja, and like here, you put a really nice, loud, inspiring chanting on. You join that, not just listening, but really joining the chanting. That is also often very effective of really overcoming some subtle but negative mind state that we have become used to, can really get us out. But the most important is, of course, the awareness, mindfulness, clear comprehension of our general mind state. And does the meditation I'm doing improve that? Does the mind become brighter, more happy, more joyful, more filled with light, more peaceful, more tranquil, but at the same time, the more alert, more awake, more mindful, more aware, more conscious? And a lot of the meditation attention, what we pay attention to, is exactly that, not just a meditation object. Okay, so a few comments on that one. Any remarks on that? Any questions? Okay, we can share nuggets with all beings.
Now the chandras of sharing aspiration. Give me the willingness that arises from my practice. Of the world, may the highest and nearer. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. Unsurpassed is the protection of the Dhamma. The solitary Buddha is my noble lord. The Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all beings, may darkness and delusion be dispelled.
Bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho.